ons is bijna tyd vir Son op gaan bos. Elke woensdag hierdie tyd gesels ons bos dinge. So ons gesels vanoggend met Duncan McKenzie. Moet nie weggaan nie. Hy is hulle bekende aan jou, daar is min wat hy nie weet omtrent wat in die bos aangaan.
Kan ons nou praat oor Driekus du Plessis?
Asseblief Niels.
Kan ons dit doen?
Ja, Niels lijks as een van die opblaasvissies. Dit wil net uit, dit wil net vir ander muziek speel vir dit.
Ja,
okay,
agressieve muziek.
Goed, ek kan dit vir jou doen. I can do this for you. Kyk, hoor, hier kom het. Hier is vir jou agressieve muziek.
Okay. Is dit beter? Ja, dit sal doen.
Goed, wat wil jy vertel van Driekus?
Ek was so beïndruk deur Driekus du Plessis se pre-fight onderhoud met ESPN wat gisteraand so rondom 8 uur gebeur het. Beide die vegters, Sean Strickland en Driekus du Plessis, het redelik lang gesprekke gehad met mense wat onderhoude gevoer het met hulle rondom die geveg en wat hulle verwag en sovoorts, maar daar was so groot kontras tussen die huidige titelhouer, beltdraer van Sean Strickland van die middelgewig UFC,
ja,
wat sonoggend 5 uur gaan plaas vind hier by ons. So groot kontras tussen hoe hulle self gedra as mense en hoe hulle optree as champs. En Driekus is net, kom ons sê nou maar net, dat hy skroom glad nie om die boodskap uit te dra dat Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Oh,
en
daar is
so groot kontrast tussen hoe hy homself gedra as persoon en hoe hy homself, jy weet, as a kampioen alreeds sien. En
wat een mooi ambassadeur.
Ja, en Strickland wat een klomp snap kwijtraak. Wat absoluut al 4 van my tyd gemors het in my leven. Dis net, gaan kyk het. Ter opbouwing van hierdie geveg, gaan kyk net die 2 onderhoude en die kontrast tussen die 2 vechters.
Nou maar goed dan, dankie Niels. Ek gaan verseker bietjie loer daarna en kyk of ek kan iets wys word. Intussen tyd is dit nou tyd vir Son op gaan bos en is my trots moontlik gemaak deur Wildman.
Daar is niks so lekker as ons eie bosveld maan in die laafveld nie. En dit is nog lekkerder as jy dit kan deel saam vriende soos Wildman. Dit is die manne se stories en hulp oor hulle dag se jag wat jou avontuur nog verbeter. Manne, dis 'n voorreg om die stories te gaan luister en ons spesiale aanbiedinge te gaan uitloer. Wildman Nelspruit. Wat 'n voorreg.
Soos ons beloof het, Son op gaan bos woensdagoggende met komplimente van Wildman. En saam met ons in die atelier vanoggend, nadat hy die verkeer moes trotseer om hier uit te kom, is Duncan McKenzie. Ons het al heel wat met hom gesels. Hi Duncan, how are you?
Morning everybody, very well, thanks and yourselves.
Very well, thank you.
Safe for the traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us again. How's the new year? How's the new year?
So far so good, thank you. Not enough. Bush time, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's
always
office time, but yeah, we'll get there.
Getting a little bit of withdrawal at the moment from the bush.
Yes, pretty much.
Need to get there.
Duncan, we want to talk about, I think, something that I think most people that I know, in any case, they love owls. So we got a good selection.
Who?
Owls. Ooh. Oh, Niels, he's such a funny.
Bad joke.
So funny. We've got quite a big variety of species in the Lowveld.
Yes, indeed. There are 12 species of owls in southern Africa, and 11 of the 12 occur here in the Lowveld. So we're quite owl-rich, if you want to call it that. Mm. And they vary in size from the African Scops owl, which weighs about 65 grams, up to the Vero's eagle owl or giant eagle owl, which weighs about 2.5 kilograms.
Sure.
Yeah, so they come in all shapes and sizes. And as I said, 11 of the 12 are found in the Lowveld. The one that it does not occur in the Lowveld does still occur in Mpumalanga.
Right.
In terms of our province, all of them are here. The one that we don't get down here is the Cape eagle owl, which is a really big chunky owl that occurs on on our escarpment, on the sort of rocky Highveld grassland. In terms of nelspruit, though, there are probably only three common ones, or reasonably commonly found ones, in town itself. African wood owl, which is increasing in numbers because of our gardens that are becoming more forested. That's a forest owl. And then spotted eagle owl, which is the one you normally see if you're driving at night sitting on the lamp poles. And then, unfortunately, getting rarer and rarer is the barn owl, which is still found in town, but not as much as we used to.
Yeah, I must admit that I used to have a barn owl at my house. And a barn owl is one of the bigger species as well. Hey? It's quite a big owl.
It's probably medium size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it for quite a while. It seems to have left.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the sort of more forested city does not suit it either. Because it preys mostly on rodents, so in grassland areas. It's called a barn owl because it's roosty roost in barns.
Right.
I mean, talking about hundreds and hundreds of years ago in Europe, where you also get the same bird. For us, they'll nest in any sort of cavity, even in the roof. But as the city gets more forested, as trees get larger, the sort of less habitat. But also, obviously, a major problem with all our nelspruit owls is obviously poisoning.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to get to that. That's quite a big thing. So how does the poisoning happen? Through rodent control?
Yes, so poisoning is one of the factors. So obviously habitat transformation. So we're losing habitat. Roadkill. Owls often come down onto the road to catch skinks and snakes or mice or whatever, and then they get hit by cars. But the primary reason for the loss of owls is secondary poisoning through rodenticides. We're putting poison bait out for rodents. The rodents then consume the poison. And then the owls then consume the rodents, and in so doing get poisoned, sort of secondary poisoning.
Yeah, that's actually been a problem forever, hey. And I mean, I do know that you do get, let's call it owl-friendly poisons.
Unfortunately not.
Oh, not?
Poison is poison.
So there's something, isn't there anything else I can put out for rodents that wouldn't affect the owls?
No. Yes, there are mechanical
traps.
Mechanical,
yeah, like just the normal traps.
Yes, so there's mechanical control methods, which include various kinds of traps. Some are a little bit gory for the average person. For example, think of those spring traps. They're a bit messy, and then you've got to get rid of the carcass. There are other walk-in traps, fall-in traps that are less sort of messy. But by far the best method of controlling rodents is biological control, and that's with owls.
Exactly. How do we get back to encouraging owls to come back into the vicinity in the areas, and so we can control the rodents with the natural means?
So as an example, a barn owl can have 8 chicks in one clutch. But let's just say 4 of them, let's just say 4, even those 4, to raise those 4 takes hundreds and hundreds of rodents.
Yes.
So that pair has to catch. I think something like 1,500 or 2,000 rodents to get those 4 to fledge. And they can, in a good year, if there's a good rainfall year and lots of grass seeds, then there are more rodents, right? So they can have 2 broods. So just think, one pair of owls that raises 2 clutches in a period can decimate. A rodent population. The problem is, we hear a rodent in the ceiling and we want it dead yesterday. We're not prepared to just wait to let the owls do the job. But actually, the best rodent control is biological control.
And then that brings me to my next question. How do I get owls back into my garden? Will these little owl houses that people erect in their gardens, does it work? Will it work?
Yes, they definitely do work. It doesn't mean that you'll get owls if you put them up. But they're very easy to make. You can use ceiling boards, untreated wood preferably. And you could just build a box about 30 to 40 centimeters cubed. And for barn owls, they prefer only one side open, so they prefer more of a cavity. Mm. Whereas, for example, spotted eagle owls, you can leave four sides open of that, you know, that same box. You can use the same kind of style for the box. BirdLife South Africa does have plans for owl boxes on their website. So yes, the boxes can help, and I know friends of mine in town do have owls nesting in owl boxes.
Really?
The thing is, the owl in your area may already have a nest site, so your box might be rejected for that reason. Mm. Also, if the local pair has been killed or poisoned or whatever, then it'll take a while for another pair to come back in and reclaim that sort of territory. But yes, owl boxes will definitely help, especially with modern buildings where we don't have apertures anymore, for example, for barn owls. That will definitely help.
Are owls, in general, and maybe some species are and some species aren't, are they territorial?
They are, exceptionally.
Yes.
Mm. Exceptionally territorial. You only have to look at the little pearl-spotted owlets in Kruger.
Oh, yes.
They're easy to imitate, their whistling call, for a person to imitate it. And if you had to imitate it, you'll see the local pair will come in and give you their death stare. They are exceptionally territorial.
So, you know, I mean, we get these fantastic bird apps. So my husband, every now and then, so often, he sits with his bird app and he imitates one of the owl calls or whatever. You know, and especially, but birds. I haven't seen the owls come reacting to the call, but birds do.
Yeah.
So that to me is quite interesting because it depends on what call you're playing, isn't it?
It does. In general, we prefer not to play calls of birds. I know the apps make it really easy. For various reasons, especially if it's a larger bird, a threatened species or something like that, just because of disturbance.
Okay.
But you'll see territorial birds will react. Mm. Some birds are not territorial as such, but are more nomadic. So they'll breed in a particular area at a particular time because of an abundant food source. Mm. And barn owl is kind of like that. Mm. They'll move around locally in response to rodent outbreaks. Mm. So they might not be in that particular area all year round.
Mm. Now, can I just move back to the little owl houses? When you put one of those up, what do you put inside? Or do you just leave it as is?
No. The best thing to put inside actually is pine needles.
Oh.
Yes. Apparently they don't decompose very well.
Okay.
If you walk in a pine plantation, you'll notice
you're
the thick
know
layer.
About them. Yes.
So apparently, and I haven't tried this, but apparently pine needles are the best thing to put just on the floor of the owl box. Yeah.
Okay.
Which means a little drive onto the escarpment.
Yes.
But yeah. Apparently works quite well.
Owls are fascinating in the general, just the circle of life when it comes to, they're very, very important in rodent control and so on. But it's also so interesting that you will, am I correct when I say this, you'll never hear an owl fly?
Yes, so owls, almost all owls have silent flight. So their feather tips, the actual fiber of the little filaments of the feathers are serrated. If you think of most birds, the edge of the feather is kind of ziplocked to form a solid edge. So owls don't have that for their flight feathers. Mm. They've got little serrated edges, which gives them silent flight. That is except for Pell's fishing owl, for example, the really big ginger rare owl we get down in Kruger, in the Lowveld. That owl preys on fish. So it doesn't need
to be silent.
No.
Okay,
it just perches above the water and flops down and catches a fish. It doesn't need silent flight. Mm. But and it's quite remarkable. There's footage online of really big owls in the Northern Hemisphere that are preying on rodents that crawl around under snow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So their hearing is so good that they're able to detect prey under snow. And their flight is so silent that the prey doesn't detect them.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Also, just make a differentiation about the daytime species owls and maybe most owls are probably nighttime species.
Yes, it's a nocturnal group of raptors. So there are a few species that will forage in the day, but then mostly on overcast days and then mostly early morning, late afternoon. And they include the African barred owlet, pearl-spotted owlet, and marsh owl. Those are the most regularly encountered during the day. And then, especially on overcast mornings, you'll get the Vero's eagle owl vocalizing. They've got this low, deep grunting call.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And often you'll hear that in the day. But then again, mostly early mornings.
I'd like to just quickly touch on a book that you're involved with that'll see the light of day by the end of this month, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holding
this is very, very exciting, Duncan. It's the Roberts Bird Guide to Greater Kruger National Park. So, in conjunction with two other people, you've been working on this book. How long has it been since you've started?
This is it's a second edition. What we did is we took the first edition and changed everything, basically. Yeah. So it's completely revised.
Yeah.
And we've included a lot of new facets in the book. For example, we've got some bird tracks, which is quite funky. I think we've redone all the maps. We've got new distribution maps. We've got updated text. And then we've got a complete, as far as we can find, a complete database of all the rarity records in the history of Kruger.
What?
Since they were first published in 1967. So it is a complete revision. Unfortunately, we had a few delays with the issues at the port in Durban, getting some of the material, getting it through to the printers. But hopefully by the end of January, they'll be on the shelves.
Sure, can't wait.
That's fascinating and very, very exciting times. Good luck with that. I hope it's going to fly off the shelves.
Thank you.
Like the first one, definitely. I'm sure it will. And then once it's on the shelves and it's published, I'd like you to come back and visit us and talk about it a bit more.
Very happy to do so.
Wonderful. Duncan McKenzie, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thanks, folks. And yeah, please look after your owls.
Definitely will do. Geen gif, onthou. En daar's geen ding soos owl-vriendelike gif.
Het ons nou uitgevind.
So, dit was Duncan McKenzie hier op 100.5 Sonopgaan Bos met trots moontlik gemaak deur Wildman.